Good morning. Welcome to worship. Merry Christmas and Frohe Weihnachten. And it's good to see you this morning on this Christmas day. I had the distinction yesterday, probably for you too, of being able to say if the morning of Christmas Eve counts, then we had a white Christmas. And today we have liquid sunshine. We used to say that in Vancouver all the time about the rain, liquid sunshine. It's good to be here knowing that last evening there was also Christmas Eve service involving many of the children and young families, and so somewhat comparable. Paul Adams and Taya Himes were sharing with leadership in the service together with many others. I had privilege and opportunity to be at the Niagara United Mennonite Church last evening. Renata was sharing with many others there in the service and was able to join them in worship. And so this morning now, it's good to be here and to see you. And saying that, a few announcements a little bit later, you'll get the importance of that statement, and simply it's good to see you. With the rise of the pandemic, we have been wondering about the possibility of whether or not to cancel services. And with that, certainly encouragement to be vigilant and on the side of caution, so that we do what we can to keep each other safe. And with that, Church Council has asked with much deliberation and consultation, this will be our last in-person service for a while. Next Sunday, tomorrow morning at least, just to note, being Sunday, but Boxing Day, there will not be a service, and I see many other churches are doing the same of having Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, but then not on Boxing Day, which happens to be a Sunday. But January 2nd, the following Sunday, we will be moving online only. And so challenge of navigating internet things, but also for those not on the internet, just a reminder, we will continue as we have been doing, sending out printed, edited combinations of the bulletin as well as the printed copies of messages to those who ask to receive them. And so if you're not able to join us on the internet, please, if you have not already, contact the church office and we will be glad to add you to the mailing list. Those mailings come out every second week. So it's not every week, but every second week, Eileen makes those mailings. So once again, beginning next Sunday, the following Sunday, we will be online only. With that, I want to welcome you with the words of the prophet Micah. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel. And so our worship this morning considers the Gospel of Matthew, the account of God's coming in the drama of King Herod being visited by the wise men seeking the newborn king, who is the Redeemer and Savior for you and me. With a focus on the town of Bethlehem, the one born in a manger causes some people to be threatened, and they lash out with violence, while others are humbled and brought to their knees. Hearing of Jesus' birth, what direction will your life take? I invite you this morning to say that the journey with Jesus begins today. As we begin our worship, just want to share a few short announcements. Take note, once again, the services moving online, and just to make sure here, yeah, printed bulletins. Yes, with the coming of the year end, there's the typical request of financial support for the ministries of the church. As with every organization that I'm aware of, especially nonprofit charities. During the COVID pandemic, there have been additional financial strains, and your support for the spiritual ministries of the church is much appreciated. Donations for year-end can be made up to noon on Thursday, December 30th. Aside from the various online options for donations, there is also the secure mailbox at the front door. And Alvin Entz assured me he will check that shortly after noon on Thursday, the 30th. Two other things to highlight. We were anticipating a guest on January 9th of Doug Clausen, who was associate pastor here some years ago, currently serving as Mennonite Church Canada executive minister, and be in discussion with Doug as to whether we can get that service online. The disappointing part of that is we were anticipating him being able to share a time of discussion on the challenges of calling pastoral ministers, and certainly a concern close to Doug's heart as he views the wider church across Canada and also the United States. And so I'll be in discussions with him whether we can have that as a Zoom discussion for those of you who are capable of doing that. So stay tuned for that announcement. Also, just to let you know, and perhaps you to share with others, if there's interest in baptism or church membership, can express those interests to either myself or Taya. And we welcome those questions of interest in expression of faith. At this time, invite Liz to come and share with us the scripture readings and the lead us in the responsive reading, which will be on the screen. Liz?
Good morning. Scripture this morning is from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. An entourage of wealthy noblemen with a keen eye for observing things is overwhelmed with joy when their cosmic guide points out a lowly house in a lowly town. Meanwhile, a ruler, blinded by his obsession with power, becomes disturbed by the threat of an infant born in poverty. The star shines for those who are prepared to really see. doesn't want a light. Time for the responsive reading, gentlemen. Kate. We live in troubled times, but the light of God has burst into our dark world. God comes to us as a stranger, one who reveals light upon our mystery. At times, only after the stranger leaves are we able to recognize the fullness of God's coming. Look for God's salvation to be found among the lowly. Listen for God's voice in the quiet corners of your world. God, help us to be blinded by the force of the soul, but to seek you. We have come to the child who lies in a manger. Thank you.
Unfortunately for singing, public health has asked us to not sing these days. And so, although music is such an important part of our Christian worship, we do have recorded songs, and so invite that at this time. But we ask that you refrain from singing. Thank you.
Joy to the world.
Thank you.
You likely noticed that was us singing on a previous occasion. And much appreciation to Alvin Entz for searching through the files and finding the songs of faith for us to share in a different way. And so hopefully the recordings are as meaningful as you reflect on the text and the music as are shared with us by the recordings. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, we gather for worship, aware of our vulnerability and the fragile nature of life. We gather today to welcome your coming to us in Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate. His coming in the past, but is also coming today, now. While the first to see the baby in the manger long ago were peasant farm workers, we also hear of learned, wealthy scholars who joined the shepherds on bended knee to honor your coming salvation. And so we join with them in worship and in praise of what you are doing in our midst. While we struggle with the limitations and the restrictions, keep us ever mindful of your desire for our liberation. May our sense of freedom be an opportunity to join with Jesus in sharing good news of justice and peace for others who are abused and oppressed. Keep us ever mindful of those in our community and in the wider world, that we join with Jesus in sharing good news of your coming, of your justice and peace for all. In the midst of this, we pray for those who have been experiencing illness, and we lift up their names in our hearts to you in prayer. We hold before you also those who work to keep us well in health care, in long-term care facilities, and in many other ways, from the grocery stores to the truckers to the farmers and so many others who seek to support our well-being. Gracious God, we pray for those who make decisions for us as a community, asking for your wisdom to be upon them, seeking the good for the greater community for all of us. And now on this morning, may our glimpse of the Star of Bethlehem lead us to Jesus, the bread of life, and who is our salvation. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A song, Shine on Us, followed by a video recording by the Praise and Worship Choir, There Is Room. To a people walking in darkness, a great light has dawned.
That was true 2,000 years ago, and it is true today. Into our sin-darkened hearts, God has sent the light of the world. Lord Jesus, come shed your light on us today, right here, right now.
Light up your face.
It was a still, cold night when the mystery occurred. Now, the answer to the question of every longing heart would be answered by the birth of a baby in a humble manger. The question, is there room enough for me?
The answer would come in the poverty of a manger. There the lowly would find their welcome, for only in the ordinary surroundings of a stable would shepherds dare to enter.
And for those seekers who would leave their comforts to find the promise, the answer came, there is room for anyone willing to come.
Yes, the Word became flesh, and He makes His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth.
Challenges. Appreciate the work this morning, Jerry and Ron, for helping us with the worship service. The message this morning is entitled, The King Breaks into the Slum. It's posed as a question. If you've ever visited a slum, likely your first thought has been, how can people survive amidst so much trash and filth? While I've visited some rough areas of Canada and the United States, none of those have come close to what Renata and I experienced years back, 1994, when we visited the city of Brasilia, capital of Brazil, and then also on to Montevideo in Uruguay. On a tour of a slum in the outskirts of Montevideo, I recall the car we were riding in was navigating potholes rather slowly, because that's about as fast as you could go. And suddenly there was a loud bang on the side of the car. A rock had been thrown. And it was a declaration that we did not belong there. And it would have been dangerous for us to stop and challenge the person who threw the rock. A slum is not the place people choose to live. Those who are poor claim ultra-small plots of land, land so undesirable that no one bothers to chase them away. And so with intelligent ingenuity, the poor scrape together the bare necessities they need to survive, at least most of the time. While the wealthy erect barriers of isolation to protect their property, I sometimes wonder who really is imprisoned in these situations. But anyway, the wealthy erect barriers to protect their property, and in contrast, the poor, who are vulnerable to those who would steal what little they have, they are also defenseless against the elements of weather that can so quickly sweep away their very lives. A slum is not the place anyone chooses to live. And when those who inhabit slums seek to break free from the confines of their property, typically those in positions of power who have acquired their wealth from the laborers of the poor, they typically respond with brutal force and violence to keep the poor, supposedly, in their place. Our Advent theme this season has been God breaks in. And from our Bible readings for today, we hear of God breaking into the world, not from the powerful center, but from the slums. God comes to us from the outskirts, the backwoods, the town of Bethlehem. Later on from Nazareth. Bethlehem, the bedroom suburb of Jerusalem. When King Herod heard from wise men the possibility of a Messiah king being born, he called upon his religious advisors, who told him of the ancient prophecy. And you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, not the Bethlehem in the north, to the northwest of Galilee. In the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. The thought consumes King Herod. The king? The king breaks in from the slums? Bethlehem? You know, that little town 10 kilometers to the south of Jerusalem. Why from Bethlehem? Why would God's promised Messiah come from there? The name Bethlehem means house of bread. And Bethlehem stood on the fertile countryside bordering the desert region. that region to the east, which made its name fitting, Bethlehem. It stands high up on a gray limestone ridge, a summit at each end and a hollow in between, sort of like a sallow saddle between them. Bethlehem looks like a town set in an amphitheater amongst the hills. There, at Bethlehem, there is a long spiritual history. It was in Bethlehem that Jacob buried his wife, Rachel, back early in the story of Genesis. Bethlehem, there where Ruth moved to with her mother-in-law and married Boaz. From Bethlehem, Ruth could, on the top of the ridge, look downwards toward the Red Sea across the Jordan Valley and see the native land of Moab, where she came from. Bethlehem, known as the home and city of David, before he settled in Jerusalem. The picture we typically have of the birthplace of Jesus is the outskirts of Bethlehem, in a stable, in a manger. And this may well not quite be accurate. The houses of Bethlehem were built on the slope of that limestone ridge, and likely it was very common for those houses to have a cave-like stable hollowed out of the limestone rock. There, the stable below the house, for obvious reasons. And very likely it was in such a cave-like stable that one of the shepherds would be, or the shepherds would be quite familiar with. And there, likely, Jesus was born. It's in the Gospel of Luke that we find the image of the shepherds tending their flocks amongst the hills surrounding Bethlehem. Young boys, the old men, those who had the mediocre job of tending sheep. And the practical reality of the sheep being raised there in Bethlehem was for the commercial markets nearby in the city of Jerusalem. Not having visited Palestine myself, I did the next best thing of studying a Google map, the satellite view. While the area around Bethlehem indicates vegetation growth scant, but it's there, nearby, especially to the east, are the barren hills, the desert area that slopes down toward the Dead Sea, which is an appropriate name. And it's a fine line between those areas that receive scant moisture for plants to grow and where sheep may graze. And then right nearby is the dry desert area where nothing grows. That's Bethlehem. On the edge, the outskirts, on the side of influence, the borderline of being insignificant. So now we hear King Herod's agitation at the news of the wise men saying that the new king would be born. Why would anybody bother with Bethlehem? But then again, it's from the outskirts, from the periphery. That's where the uprisings begin. That's where those who cause trouble amass a following and attempt rebellion. Then those who have much to lose smell a hint of uprising. They're quick to stamp it out. They crush any efforts to overthrow their positions of power. Little insignificant Bethlehem. Among the images of the lowly stable, recall the image of young Mary there. Innocent Mary, to whom the angel had foretold she would bear a son. In conversation with her equally bewildered cousin Elizabeth, Mary shared her vision for what God would do through her son. Also borrowing from the Gospel of Luke, Mary's song, known as the Magnificat, it's the Latin for magnify. Mary's words include, "He has scattered those who are proud, brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." Evangelical writer Daniela Mayfield has been an activist and spent over a decade working with refugee communities in the United States. Mayfield says that Magnificat has been viewed as dangerous by people in power. Think about it. At various times, countries such as India, Guatemala, Argentina, at times they've outright banned the Magnificat from being recited in churches or even in public. She says, "In all my years of being in church, knowing the Christmas story backward and forward, I've never heard these verses emphasized. Here, Mary comes across less like a scared, obedient 15-year-old and more like a rebel intent on reorientating an unjust system." She says, "I love this Mary. Where's she been all my life?" Mayfield concludes that Mary, in her song, announces really good news for her neighbors, the poor, the refugees, both locally and globally, who continue to be crushed under a world that thrives on exploitation and injustice. And we wonder why mighty King Herod would be frightened by the news of a newborn baby coming from the slums of Bethlehem. We might wonder why three intelligent travelers would bother listening to the voice of an angel in the night telling them to sneak out of Judea and avoid reporting back to King Herod. There's far more drama going on here than traditionally assumed in the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. There is political intrigue to unfold and unravel, and it comes with Jesus' arrival as a baby. Bethlehem, the house of bread, the birthplace of the one who would become the bread of life. The one who shared bread as the symbol of his body, broken and given for us. The same one who, after his resurrection, was recognized in the breaking of bread, comes from Bethlehem, the house of bread. When I first became a follower of Jesus, I have to admit, I'm thankful there were no angels who appeared to me, singing or otherwise, and I'm not sure I would have been attracted to that kind of message. I wonder if I would have even begun that journey. Yet in my later stage of life, I cannot fathom how life might have unfolded had I not made a commitment to follow Jesus. And while the journey is not over yet, Jesus continues to challenge my perceptions of order and continues to disrupt my need for control. The one born in the manger at Bethlehem causes some people to be threatened and they lash out with violence. Others are humbled that God would come to us and are brought to our knees. And so Christmas Day, the day we celebrate Jesus' birth, it's not the end of the season. It's not the end of the Advent season, the message of God's coming. It's the beginning of another journey. And so what direction will we go? Now that we've heard, Jesus is born. Not in the center of power, but at the periphery of our lives, and who beckons us to welcome him in. The journey with Jesus begins today. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, once again, we thank you for your coming to us. And so often it's difficult to fathom why you would bother. Our sinfulness and waywardness so often leads us astray, causing harm, whether it's violence or simply disrespect, disregard, and treating other people as if they don't matter. Come, Lord Jesus, transform our lives to live in the newness of life that Jesus brings to us, for peace and justice for ourselves, but also the good news for others. May your will be done in us and through us in the coming days as we seek to follow Jesus amidst troubling times. Give us grace and wisdom for the living of these days, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, again, the images of that lowly place. And then following that, the benediction, and then we will hear the song, Der Friedensfürst.
Oh,
before share the benediction and then we hear the Friedensfürst music, just a reminder, the ushers will not be guiding you out as they've been doing in the past, but please be mindful as you leave the sanctuary to keep the physical distance from each other. The temptation to wish each other a Merry Christmas with a hug, yes, we're wanting to be careful and cautious these days, and so please have your cooperation for that. I share these words of benediction as we go from this time of worship. According to God's great mercy, God has caused you to be born again into a living hope through the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you leave from this place, go in the peace of Christ. Amen.